You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Kayla Breese. She is a certified life coach and holistic healing practitioner, marketing strategy, speaker, and author of Healing from Grief and Transforming Inner Pain. She guides her clients to transform their lives and supports them to break free from what holds them back from living a highly favored life and living their mark on the world. So she is all about transformation. She is all about getting you to step into your purpose and breaking those barriers, mental blockage, whatever you name it. She is the expert, and I'm super excited to have her on the show. She has decades of experience, and we are looking forward to learning from her. She currently believes there's no time like the present to rise up and claim the life meant for you. So with no further ado, Kayla, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I am delighted. Excellent to have you on board. I am looking forward to hearing your story. So go ahead and get us going with your why, your journey. How do you get here?
Sure. So let me give you the Cliff Notes version, because we will be here all day if I tell you everything. So I have always had an entrepreneurial spirit. At a very young age, you could find me selling lemonade by the side of the road, mm-hmm. working my parents' garage sales, even picking up cans along the road to cash in at the local grocery store. I was always doing something as a side gig to make money. And when I was 10 years old, I happened to go to California to visit my uncle and had the pleasure of working in his health food store. I loved every minute of it. It was so much fun. It was still vacation for me, even though I was working. Yeah. But I really believe that that's where the vision to be a business owner one day truly developed into obviously what it is today. And over the years, I started several businesses while working on a blossoming career. And I was hoping to build something that would be able to replace my full-time income. I was looking for something where I could have that time freedom, that emotional freedom from stress, the financial freedom. And no matter what I was doing, it just really wasn't working. Yeah. It just wasn't thriving the way that I wanted it to go and wanted it to be. And much to my dismay, obviously, with all of my failed attempts at trying to get something to move, it just wasn't working. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And it wasn't until after I had my son that I didn't want to return to my job because, I mean, I was a new mother. I was never supposed to be able to have children and struggle with infertility. So I really struggled with going back to work as the breadwinner for our family, as a brand new mom who was nursing. And it just really, you know, it just hurt me at my core. I didn't want to leave him. I didn't want to miss those milestones. And so it really lit a fire deep within to figure out what I wanted to do and to make something work and fast so that I could get out of corporate America and home with my son and still be able to provide for our family. So I had an epiphany one day on, I was actually on a break. I think it was a pumping break because I was nursing and I was scrolling through Facebook and I happened to come across a Facebook ad for a business coach and it caught my attention and I was really intrigued. And so I started researching about the coaching industry and about, you know, really diving more into personal development. And I had the idea that this was exactly what I was called to do. Unbeknownst to me that was something that I had already been doing for years before without ever realizing it was coaching.
Really?
So, okay. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I'm like, well, I'm already doing this. I'm like, now there's a name for it, which was really great.
Yeah.
So I happened to, you know, a few weeks later, I hired that particular business coach to help me get my coaching business off the ground and started. I had a goal to leave my job, fire my boss within 90 days from the launch of my business. And I can probably say that I achieved that goal.
Nice.
And yeah, it was amazing. We hustled, yeah. But it was incredible. And I have developed new skills and concepts and acquired various certifications, you know, became an author and expanded my businesses into what it is today and making a global impact over the last few years. So it's been a wild journey, an enlightening and fun journey. There's been some ups and downs here or there, but you know, it's so rewarding to be able to step into your calling and know that you are doing work that you're really meant to do, what you feel as, you know, is your divine calling. And that's really where I am today. So I haven't looked back. I've been home full-time, you know, as a full-time entrepreneur. We have multiple businesses. My little guy is now in school all day, which is great.
Yeah.
It gives me a little bit more time to get stuff done here at home. But you know, this is my life now. And it's, there's been so many rewarding aspects of being an entrepreneur and having that freedom that has allowed me to really be able to do a lot of the things that I would not have been able to do if I was in corporate America. Yeah. So, you know, for example, you know, I lost my dad. It was 4 years ago this month to cancer. And I was with him every step of the way of his journey from when he was diagnosed through his treatment and you name it. And we did a lot of traveling. I was back and forth to the hospital with him, a lot of appointments. I would not have been able to take time off in corporate America to be able to do that. And so there's just been a lot of things in the last few years since, you know, I became a full-time entrepreneur that it really shows how grateful I am to have that freedom, because I do have that time freedom. I can stop what I'm doing and I can go, you know, meet my mom, you know, for lunch or take her to her appointments. Or, you know, I was taking her to go see my dad at the cemetery every other week for the first couple of years after he passed, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just those memories and those moments that you can really appreciate that so many take for advantage. And for me, it's just really, you know, it's been a blessing to be able to do that.
Yeah. I think you hit it right on the nail when you said to be able to find your purpose and find your calling, because you, mm-hmm. you dabbled in several businesses, as you mentioned, before this fell on your lap. And then you realize, oh man, I've been doing this whole time. You've been following this truth and teaching this whole time. And now to actually fully, immerse in it, it really does give you that time freedom, that financial freedom. Mm-hmm. But I love that you express emotional freedom. I want you to mm-hmm. unpack that for me.
Yeah. So when I think of emotional freedom, it's really about, you know, obviously eliminating the stress in our lives. So that is one of the key components for me. I always laugh because I do handle my stress very well, even though I have a lot of stress in my life. Yeah. And so I have a good way of coping with that. Let's put it that way. But I also suffer from mental health issues, and those were diagnosed, you know, with me. I mean, I was diagnosed with seasonal depression. It was just really mild and would come and go. And, you know, it wasn't too difficult for me to manage. And then after my dad had passed, I was diagnosed with severe depression, having signs of PTSD and generalized anxiety disorder. And that really hit me hard, not only in my ego, because, you know, I didn't want to admit that there was really anything going on with me other than my grief and my loss.
Yeah.
And not to say that there's anything wrong per se, but I didn't want to admit that there was anything else, right? There's the stigma around mental health. I didn't want to be, for me, I had to go through the feeling of shame and the judgment around just unpacking my own mental health issues and the limiting beliefs that I had. And so when I look at my emotional freedom, it's also really having that freedom to not have the triggers with my anxiety that I, you know, deal with every day, not going into the bouts of depression. And so having the freedom to be able to work my businesses, work around my priorities, take time off if I need to. That has really been important for just my overall mental health, period. Because if I am working and I'm hustling and I'm constantly on the go with my businesses or with my family, and I don't give myself that space and the grace to be able to take care of me, everything's going to come falling down around me. And I'm going to be grasping at straws to try and keep everything together. So it's been, you know, days there's usually time frames throughout the year that obviously impact me a little bit more. And, you know, and using my dad's, you know, passing as an example, you know, it's the anniversary of his passing. It's his birthday. It's certain holidays, certain days where memories will come up on my Facebook newsfeed. And it's, you know, those memories that pop up, and those are triggers that, you know, they're inevitable. They're going to happen. You know, you can heal from your grief as much as you can, but that grief is always going to stay with you. So you're going to be triggered. Now, where those triggers get better over time? Yeah, they will. But you're always going to carry that grief and that, you know, that loss for the loved one that had passed. So when I know that I have these days that are coming up that are likely going to trigger me a little bit more, I don't schedule anything on my calendar. I take time off. I make sure that I can do low key stuff. I'm taking care of myself.
Yeah.
I'm pampering myself, and I'm really just fine tuning and taking care of my emotional and mental needs, my physical needs, and just giving myself the grace and the space to be able to do that and not feeling guilty about it. And that was a big thing too, is, you know, not feeling guilty, having that emotional freedom to not be guilty about taking time off, because I needed to take time off for myself, even though I may have a long list of things I have to do.
Right.
But I'm giving myself that space to be able to do it, that permission that I need to be able to do it.
That grace as well, giving yourself grace and showing in that tender and loving towards yourself.
Yes.
And I think a lot of us, especially during grieving, we don't allow the ample time to go through that process, to just be, to, as you would do, give yourself the space to do it, the days that it may take, because you've been through it before, instead of trying to shove it and put it all under and swallow it and try still trying to show up to the world. It's like,
absolutely,
it's like going against the grains, and you don't perform as well.
No. And I can tell you that I was right back to work within a couple of weeks after my dad's passing, after we had his funeral and I got things situated, and I was right back into work coaching and doing everything and just trying to keep everything going. But that was also my coping mechanism to not deal with my grief, not deal with the things that were going on. It was, I got in the zone and I worked. And that was one of my biggest downfalls with everything, is a hard lesson that I had to learn, because I kept pushing down my emotions, my feelings, my thoughts, the support that I really needed for my grief, the support I needed for my mental health. And I kept pushing it aside because I felt that if I didn't stay strong, if I didn't stand strong and keep going and doing all the things that I promised my dad before he left, then I was weak, that I was failing, that I wasn't going to make him proud. And so I really struggled with that internally for a long time. And it wasn't until I had the moment where I just flipped out, I had a breakdown, and it was my wake up call that I needed to go and get help.
Yeah.
And I graciously accepted that help. You know, obviously I needed it, but it was basically, you know, I was like a bottle that was just getting too tight, and all of a sudden it was being shaken up and I just blew. And so if you can learn anything from my experience, don't be like me. Don't be like me. Get the help and support that you need. Like, don't bottle everything up, because I wasn't dealing with my grief. I wasn't dealing with my mental health, with my anxiety, with my depression, with all the emotions, the changes in my life. And, you know, inevitably it was ruining relationships. It was damaging my marriage. It was ruining relationships with my family, with my friends, with my colleagues, even with my son. You know, even in my business, it was really struggling. I was staying afloat, but I was not seeing the progress that I had made in previous years. And things fell through the cracks. And so
don't bottle it in.
Everything just came crumbling down because I was too proud to admit that I needed to take time for myself. I was too proud to admit that I needed to get the extra help, or that I really needed to give myself that space to just grieve and process, you know, losing my dad. And so that was a really hard lesson that I had to learn, but I had to learn that lesson so that I can obviously share that message with everyone else so they don't make the same mistakes I did.
Yeah. Share with us a little bit about the role medication plays, because as a psychologist, I know the importance of it, but sometimes it numbs the pain. Sometimes it works as a coping mechanism and just kind of not dealing with the cut. It's almost like a Band-Aid, and it numbs you. It emotionally numbs you. So tell us about the role medication plays in that grievance process, or just that healing piece of it with anxiety and depression.
Yeah. So when I got diagnosed, I was put on two different medications. And of course, I'm not going to be able to think of what they are off the top of my head, but I was put on one and I wasn't getting the support, enough support that I needed at the time. So they added in another as essentially like a booster. And I stayed on that medication for about 5-6 months before I actually weaned myself off and focused on utilizing holistic methods to really help manage my grief and my loss and my depression and anxiety. But when I was on the medication, honestly, what it really did, it was more of a Band-Aid. It helped me cope with the day-to-day stuff, helped me not be so in a tunnel vision and be so absorbed into what was going on, because it got to a point that my depression and anxiety were debilitating. I mean, I was struggling to get off the couch and really even take care of myself, let alone take care of my son and everything that was going on. So it gave me... I want to say like liquid courage, but it's not the liquid courage. that's where my mind's going, but it gave me that the courage that I really needed, or the Band-Aid, the support that I needed to really pull it together so that I could get myself well enough to be able to move towards the process of really taking matters into my own hands and getting the help and support that I needed. So, you know, it helped even and balance things out, helped even out my emotions. It helped a lot with my grief, because at that point I was so far beyond really, really bad where I was, that I was crying all the time. I was having really bad anxiety attacks. I was going through periods where I wasn't sleeping, or then where I was sleeping all the time, and I was then overeating and not eating enough. And so I was just, I was on a huge roller coaster for several months before I got the help. And with the medication, it really helped bring everything to kind of a screeching halt and help me get my life back on track and find more serenity, you know. And that was the help that I needed, because let's be honest, I was beyond the point of no return for myself. And I was not in the space to be able to do anything on my own, to do any holistic methods or research any of that, or even delve into those, you know, modalities or things like that. I wasn't at that space to be able to do that. So the medication definitely helped. And I'm a huge advocate for that. You know, people are like, well, how can you be a holistic healing practitioner if you're an advocate for medication? I'm like, well, because I believe that some people really do need to be on medication, and it's there to help support you. And you can blend both holistic methods and, you know, modern medicine, and it's okay. I have a very different view on that.
And it should be temporary. It should be temporary to get you, to boost you up, to get you off the couch so that you can start, because it's a lifestyle. You got to change your lifestyle. You got to minimize the stress. Absolutely. You got to do all the other things you're going to mention, the holistic approach that you bring that help you and help to help your clients. So help us to show us the different side to it. There's the medication. Yes, it's temporary, but what about the holistic side? What are some of those?
So what I really did when I started down my journey of healing with the holistic methods is I really just decided that I was going to be open-minded to everything and anything. And I was going to explore it all, because I was really on a mission to find other ways that could help my grief. Because sitting in group therapy or going to a therapist, it just really wasn't what I wanted to do, but I knew that I needed that support. So I was trying to find alternative ways that would work for me and my lifestyle and the vision that I saw for my healing. So I was looking for grief support. And I was also obviously looking for support with my mental health, with my depression and my anxiety. So I really just went in with no expectation, with an open mind, and was willing to just look at everything, anything that came my way, research it, and, you know, test it out, so to speak, be the human guinea pig of trying these different things. Some of the things that really worked for me was the aromatherapy. Interestingly, I started using essential oils right around the time that my dad found out he had cancer, and he and I were using them all through his treatments and, you know, and whatnot. So we had already started doing that process. But after, with my healing, I started to use my essential oils a lot more. I started burning a lot more incense, burning sage and Palo Santo. And that aromatherapy helped with my healing journey, because when I was in the middle of having an anxiety attack, where I could feel that energy building up, that I was going to be having, you know, a moment with my anxiety, I could burn some incense, or I could put on some essential oils, and it changed the mood. It changed the atmosphere. It changed the energy around me and changed myself.
Yeah.
And it shifted my mood, and it would uplift my mood, and it would ease those symptoms that I was having. So I found that aromatherapy, I responded really well to that, and it could give me a really quick fix, so to speak, to help me ease those emotions when I needed it. The other thing that I did, obviously, was I started doing, you know, getting into more exercise. And, you know, I'm not saying I go and exercise an hour or two a day, but, you know, I made it a goal to be able to at least get up and do 30 minutes of exercise every single day. And if that meant just walking around the block outside, you know, taking 10, 15 minutes to do that a couple times a day, that's what I did. But I made it a point to get up and move.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being an entrepreneur, let's be honest, I'm home and I'm sitting on my computer and I'm working a lot, and I can get into that tunnel zone of, I got to get all my stuff done and do this to-do list. And I don't take time to go and work out. Yeah. And I don't do those things. That was the trap that I fell into for a lot of years. And so I really started focusing more on, you know, my physical health and, you know, getting up and getting moving and at least doing something daily to get my body moving. And that helped obviously boost my mood, you know, help with my weight loss, help with my anxiety, help with my sleeping. There's a lot of benefits there as well. The other thing I did was change my eating habits. Mm-hmm. Not that my eating, that my food and my nutrition was horrible before, but they could use some improvement. So I changed a lot of my eating. You know, I cut out gluten. I minimized my dairy. I cut out all the crap, so to speak. So your carbonation or your carbohydrates,
sodas. You know,
sodas, your refined sugar, all that kind of stuff. I got rid of all of that. I increased my water intake. I got rid of beef and pork because it was not good for me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I mean, I do have it on occasion, but I eliminate it for the most part. And I stick to my chicken or my turkey or my fish. I eat more fish and seafood than anything else, but I really established a whole different diet and lifestyle routine there, and then added in supplements to really help, you know, ensure that I was getting all the nutrients that I needed. And overall, that obviously helped with me, you know, losing weight and my self-confidence, but helped with my, you know, being able to sleep at night. It helped reduce a lot of the symptoms with my anxiety and my depression, especially with, you know, when you have anxiety, the last thing you want to be doing is taking anything that's going to amp you up. So anything caffeine related,
yeah,
getting rid of those sodas with caffeine, making sure, I mean, I don't drink coffee, but if you drink coffee, you don't want to be drinking that because that can, you know, rile you up a little bit and trigger some anxiety. So I was really focusing on eliminating all the things that could possibly trigger me and really just focus on improving my overall health.
Yeah.
And so I started working on that, and that's been, you know, it's an ongoing process. It's a lifestyle change. It's not something that you just do for a few weeks and it's done. Like, everything I've been doing has been an evolving process and a continuation of just improving my overall life. The other thing that I added in was something that, you know, I'll be completely honest. I was completely against it. I was afraid of it. I thought it was really way out there. And now that I'm a practitioner for it, I kind of laugh about it, but I dove into energy healing. And when I had my first energy healing session, it was transformative for me. I was really skeptical. I was like, this is just a placebo effect. There's nothing to it. Like, this is just fake. But I will fully admit that I was completely wrong. I was wrong. And when I had that first energy healing session, I could feel, it was like the craziest thing. Like, she didn't touch me at all, but I could feel her hands, you know, all around me. And I could feel the hotness of her hands as she moved them. And as she moved the hands like down my body, I could feel, it was almost like a sludge being pulled. And it was the weirdest sensation ever. And as she was pulling her hands down and working down my body, that sludge was moving. And when I could feel that sludge moving, like, the rest of my body would start tingling all over. And it was phenomenal. It was bizarre. It was miraculous, but it was amazing. And after that experience, I really became a believer. And for me, I saw the benefits, you know, obviously during the energy healing session, but then I saw them afterwards too, where my mood was boosted. My relationship with my spouse was getting a lot better. I wasn't as testy. I wasn't on edge. You know, my depression was, you know, improving significantly. And I saw all those benefits after that were long standing. They weren't just, you know, immediate gratification. They didn't just last for a couple hours. Like, it really did improve for a long time after that. And then, you know, I was so intrigued and so inspired that I ended up, I went and got certified as well. So now I can do my own energy healing on myself. And so I found that even for myself, when I'm in those moments where things are starting to get, you know, pile up a little bit and I'm getting stressed out, I can take that moment to do some, you know, types of energy healing on me, whether it be, you know, the Reiki energy healing or, you know, getting out the aromatherapy with it, yeah, or getting out some crystals that I have and putting them around me, like whatever it's going to be. But I've really fully embraced that without, without judgment, without, oh my gosh, like, what is this? This is so weird and out here.
It's totally, foo-foo, yeah, as people would say.
Yeah, it's foo-foo. It's garbage. Like it's not real. But, you know, I have gone through and experienced a lot of anomalies, you know, since my dad has passed. And, you know, seeing is believing, feeling is believing. And when you experience something like that and you go through, you know, a healing process or an energy healing, you can't deny what you've experienced and you become a believer. So, you know, if you were like me and you were completely skeptical and think this is all just hogwash, I encourage you to research it. Keep an open mind, because it blew my mind away when I started digging in deeper into just how everything works and getting, you know, certified and doing those healing sessions for myself and for my clients. And with grief, you know, Reiki is really good. The energy healing is really good for your grief. So that was the other key component too. And I was able to do that, you know, offer that healing for my mom who was really struggling with grief. And so not only has it been able to really help me, but I've been able to, you know, really pass on a lot of my research
energy
to my family.
Energy, yeah, blockage. Energy blockage is a real thing. It's like pinching a flow. You realize you're stagnant. You're stuck, but you don't know why. Or you're doing all the right habits, but you're not getting the results. Or you fall back to procrastination. You fall back to laziness. Mm-hmm. You fall back to, in your case, depression or anxiety, the mental health. And it could be just an energy that needs to be blocked. It's something that you need to let go, because we hold on to so much emotional things. And so getting rid of some type of belief, it could be a thought pattern that you need to interrupt to actually clear the gateway, the floodgate of abundance to flow in, or that clarity to flow in. And that's real, because if you can't explain why you're stuck, that might as well be one of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when I do a lot of the work that I do is shadow work. And I didn't really realize what it was all the years ago when I was doing it, because I'm a huge advocate for journaling, and I dive deeper into my journal, you know, and ask myself really deep questions, and I keep digging deeper. I don't just do this surface level stuff like, why am I feeling sad today? You know, let me just fill in one quick sentence. You know, no, I really dig deep. And the more that I dug into what shadow work is and how its benefits and how it works and what have you, and the history of it, I was like, oh, I'm like, I've already been doing this as well without really realizing it, you know? And so that's been a huge proponent to everything that I'm doing as well, is doing the journal work, but really digging in deep with a lot of that shadow work, really looking at, why am I being triggered? Yeah. Why do I have these beliefs? Are these beliefs that were instilled upon me from my family, from the church, from, you know, coworkers, you know, school, whatever. And is it something that I truly believe, or is it something that I was told to believe? And just start dismantling all of these beliefs. And so I've really had to do that a lot with, you know, with my grief, with my limiting beliefs around my mental health, and, you know, how it was defining me, or how I was letting it define me. Yeah. And that really opened the doors for healing too. And for me, that really helped in conjunction with like breaking a lot of that energy up, because I was releasing all of that. I was releasing all of the stagnant energy and those stagnant beliefs that I was holding on to that really didn't need to be there.
Right.
Let's be honest.
They
need to go.
No longer served you. It was picked up, and it's surprisingly sometimes at a very young age. And then we draw the conclusion, that's who we are. We're not enough. We're not worthy. We're not lovable. And then that mantra is what goes on in our head, because we have, you know, 60,000 thoughts a day, and 90% of them are the same from yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that mantra is stuck, and that's driving our behavior, which is our habits. And then we're getting the same results as we did yesterday.
Yeah. And that's why people, they're like, you know, I keep repeating the same thing over and over, and I can't move forward and I can't hit my goals. Yep. Well, we got to take a look at what's going on. You know, what limiting beliefs do you have? You know, what have you been told? What are your patterns and your routines? Like, what are you doing day to day to break this cycle and to break this, you know, this pattern that you're in? Because until you address what's actually really going on, you're never going to be able to move forward. And so there's a whole process, and everyone is different of really breaking down a lot of the things that are really holding them back. But a lot of what I do really is looking at their mindset. It's looking at their daily routines and habits. It's looking at what are their limiting beliefs that are holding them back? What do they truly believe? Is it aligned with their vision? Is it really aligned with who they are at their core? Yeah. And really just start dismantling all of that stuff. And it's not a fun process by any means, you know, for anybody, because it really does. I mean, it brings stuff to the surface that you've been pushing back for years that you don't want to address. It's pushing back things that you're embarrassed about, that you're ashamed, that you're afraid, you know, things that you don't want to really share with anyone else, but you really need to address it.
Yeah.
You know, it's bringing to surface all those things, and it's forcing you to have to deal with it and to figure it out.
Yeah.
And from there though, you get to change, you get to transform, and in getting to that point of dealing with what you've been suppressing for years, and having that courage to accept that, okay, this no longer is serving me. Now it's time for a change, and being ready to make those changes to move forward. That's where you're going to start seeing that transformation in your life. And that's going to filter through into your professional career, into your business and what have you. So until you start doing a lot of that really deep inner work, you're not going to see the full outer external transformation that you really desire, because you're holding yourself back. And you're the common denominator in everything that you're doing, you know, and that's like the difficult thing for people to understand. It's like, well, I can play the blame game and victim mentality, and I can say, well, they didn't do this, and this coach promised that she was going to do this with me, and I didn't reach that goal. It's like, you're the common denominator. You have to be held accountable for your actions, or the actions lack thereof, in everything that you're doing and what you're doing to achieve your goals. And if you're not in alignment with your big vision and with your higher calling, no amount of mindset, no amount of strategy that I give you or anyone else gives you is going to get you to that goal. You need to be in alignment. You need to be balanced and centered, and you need to be, you know, have a clear vision of really what it is that you desire to be able to achieve those goals that you have. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to feel like you're a hamster on a wheel, just going and going and going. And you're going to get frustrated that things aren't moving in the direction that you want them to go. And there's a reason.
That's insanity.
Yes, exactly. And so it is.
Once you pull up, when you uproot those negative beliefs or limiting beliefs, toxic beliefs, you don't just uproot it and leave a void. You have to replace it. And once you replace them with more empowering affirmations, or even new identities, or you got a new identity, because you do, it's easier to do everything else. It's easier to go for that walk. It's easier to have the morning routine. It's easier to grieve. It's easier to not snap. You know, it's easier to achieve your goals, because you're no longer stuck. You're no longer stuck in a rut or in that hamster wheel that you just described. But it's imperative to first identify it and then be able to replace it. Just like any bad habit, any bad belief or bad habit, it's the same process. You don't break it. You replace it.
You replace it. And having that mindfulness that when a negative thought comes into your head, or when you're having a negative response to something where you want to react, just really having that mindfulness that you need to stop what you're doing and reflect. And, you know, if it's a negative thought, reframe it. You know, those things, they're baby steps in the right direction that can really help you. And it's so small, but people overthink it sometimes, or they think because it's so small, it's not going to work. And it's like, no, if you consistently keep doing it, you're training your brain to flip that switch. Anytime something negative is coming through, anytime that you want to react rather than be peace and calm, you know, and for me, like my husband, you know, Lord knows I love him dearly. And he's always like, you're so reactive all the time. Why do you always react? And of course that would always make me react. And I'd be angry about it, because why you tell me I'm reacting? That's going to cause me to react, you know, but it was also part of, you know, the work I had to do of why am I being triggered when he says that? Why am I always reacting to people? Why can't I just let things go, you know, and just view it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And so I had to go through that whole process too, of, you know, why am I always reacting? Why am I always on the defensive with people? You know, especially after my dad passed, because I was really on the defensive for a lot of things, but you know, that's been part of me for a long time. I've always been on the defensive. you know, maybe it's because I'm, you know, technically the middle child and I always had to, you know, be the peacekeeper, you know, I always had to speak up to have my voice heard because I was the middle child.
You get unnoticed. You know,
always,
yeah.
Yeah. I was the one that was always unnoticed, which is funny because I wasn't, but you know, I mean, you do feel that way. And it also goes back to those feelings of not feeling like I was enough, mm-hmm. always striving, having that high achieving, high functioning, like always got to go, go, go. What's the next goal I need to achieve? Because I was always seeking that validation. I was always seeking that affirmation, that support, that love. Not that I wasn't getting it from my parents, but let's be honest. I mean, there's five of us girls. Yeah. I was stuck in the middle. I was fighting for attention, you know? And so I had to look at that as well. Like, how is this really playing a part in everything I'm doing and the goals that I'm trying to achieve? Because I could hit a really big milestone and it'll be like, great, check it off. And let's move on to the next. And I wasn't taking the moment to just really sit and reflect on the big milestone that I just achieved and what I've accomplished. And it was just another thing to check off and move on to, because what else can I do? What else can I accomplish?
Yeah.
You know, what else can I seek for that validation of, you know, whatever type of love I was seeking?
One is, you know, not good enough. You know, I'm not good enough. You're never good enough. Yeah. Once you can overcome that, then it's a lot easier. Yeah,
that's a
big
one.
You can exhale. Literally, you can exhale. Yeah,
that is a big one. And I think that's probably one of the ones that is the most common with my clients, is it never feeling like they're good enough, mm-hmm. that they're never enough. And, you know, I get it because I dealt with that for years. I mean, I still deal with it. It still pops up and I'm like, I'm enough. And I have to do my affirmations, my mantras and reframing and, you know, do that inner work. But when you can identify why you're feeling like things around you are never enough, like you're never measuring up enough for whether it be in your business, for your clients or for relationships with your family, you know, with your significant other, when you start identifying that and you can look at that deeply and have a honest conversation with yourself about it, that's where that healing is really going to happen for you, because it's going to allow you to really just, you know, break free, to release and to move forward and essentially create a new identity, create a new self. Yeah. And it's really just you, but it's you stepping into your power. It's you stepping into your whole truth and your authentic truth. And you can break free and you step into like this whole other world, it's a whole new you.
Yeah.
And there's new opportunities that will open and come to you because you stepped into your truth.
Yeah. New habits are being developed. I offer a similar program where it's habit rewiring, where we go deep into the subconscious mind and actually find that root cause, where it begun, be in that moment and then uproot it to replace it, to upgrade the child, to upgrade the human being. And then that's when we can start working on the morning routine. That's when we can start working on a new habit. Because until that happens, we're going to work. I'm going to talk to you. We're going to do this until we're blue in the face and nothing's going to stick, because it hasn't sticked in the past. Why would it now?
Yeah, exactly. And finding that root problem is so key. So many people are like, well, I think it's this. And it's always a surface level like thought or idea. And it's like, no, you need to dig deeper. You need to ask more questions, or we need to ask more questions to really dig into like what's really going on. And what is the earliest memory that you can recall of a particular situation that maybe triggered this limiting belief or, you know, whatever the situation is. And until you go down that route, you're going to be on that perpetual hamster wheel, like going and going and things just aren't working. And you can't expect to change and transform your life if you don't deal with the root cause of the problem, right? We don't want to just keep throwing a Band-Aid on it and say, okay, well, here's a quick fix. Let's move forward. No, we need to really dig deep, because when you're digging deep, you can heal that wound and not just put that Band-Aid on it, hoping that it's not going to split open again, right? We want to continue to heal it and move forward.
I find that that's the icing on the cake for my clients. They come in for morning routine and then I surprise them with this habit rewiring technique and they're like, whoa. Do you find that?
Like, what is this?
Because they don't come to you for the mindset, right? They'll come to you because there's a grief. They lost somebody. They feel stuck. They had energy healing. And then you really get to the bottom of it. You expose, like, this is where we need to go, mindset. And then they're pleasantly happy, but surprised as heck that would be the root cause.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, even my clients that come to me that are looking for more business coaching, and I'm like, we got to dive into this. We need to unpack this, because we don't deal with this situation here and what's going on in your life and with your limiting beliefs, like everything we're doing over here on the business side, it's not going to matter. I'm like, yeah, you might get a really quick win and get some really quick results, but it's not going to be long-term. Mm-hmm. And if you're coming to work with me, we'll want to look at getting you long-term results. And even if that means that you don't get those immediate results in your business during our time together, you're going to see those results down the road, but you're going to see results, transformation in your life, you know, looking at your mindset, looking at your spiritual growth and development, looking at your overall health, all of those things are going to impact your business. So until you take care of you, all the other things aren't going to fall into place for you.
Yeah. Well put, Kayla. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah. Tell us about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up? What do you do?
Well, I like to keep it simple because I have a little guy that usually wants my attention in the morning. Yeah. So I get up, once I get him off to school, if he goes off to school, but if it's a weekend, it's, you know, I do my best. Let's put it that way. Full transparency. I'm a mom. I do my best, you know, but I love to do a mindful meditation practice. And sometimes, you know, I might only be able to get in 5 minutes before I'm interrupted if he's home, but I try and get in at least 10 to 15 minutes daily. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this can be where I do a guided meditation. Sometimes it could be where I will turn on like a Reiki energy healing, like music compilation, and I'll listen to that and just get in my zone and meditate. And then other times it's the more intentional, like mindful meditation where, you know, I put myself in that meditative state and I'm, you know, just in my zone. But I do try and do that every single day. When I do it, it's wonderful.
Yeah. The world's better.
It is. Like, I can tell you that meditation, you know, it was a struggle for me. You know, I'm very much on the go. I have a really difficult time sitting down, especially with, you know, having anxiety. Like, I can be watching a movie, but I always have to be doing something. Like, it's difficult for me to just sit and do nothing and just shut out all of the noise in my head. Yeah. So this has been a work in progress for me, but it has been really transformative because it has significantly helped reduce my anxiety and my stress and my depression. You know, it's helped with my self-esteem and my confidence. It helps reduce distraction, helps me get more clear and focused, helps balance me out, just keep me, you know, cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on, it's cool, calm, and collected. I mean, if I can sit and do a meditation for 5-10 minutes with my 6-year-old son being home, being loud, and not be distracted, that's amazing for me.
Yeah.
Because before, that never would have happened. I would have been completely distracted and been really, you know, struggling to get back into that zone. But it's been, you know, as you practice, things get better.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of benefits to mindful meditation. And that's something that I work on daily. And I've even tried to get my son to do it with me too, to help him. And he can't obviously sit as long as what I can, but hey, if we can get a couple minutes in with him,
it's a win.
Good day.
It's a win.
Yeah, it's a win, you know, and it helps, you know, I've also seen that it's helped with, you know, my weight loss goals, you know, because let's be honest, my weight bloomed up, when I was going through all that, turmoil and trauma that I was experiencing. And so it's really helped me with losing my weight, improving my sleep, obviously boosting my happiness and my overall mood. And, you know, it's just, it's helped me relax a lot more. And the beauty of the mindful meditation is if I feel like I need to take a moment to myself, I can close my eyes and I can quick do a meditation for a couple of minutes and just get myself in my zone and relax me, which is, you know, really important.
Yeah.
So mindful meditation has been the one thing I do. The other thing I practice is, you know, gratitude. And I write this in my journal and I write down at least 3 things every day that I'm grateful for. And it can't be something that I've used before. So it forces me to really stretch and think about the things that I'm grateful for. And then at the end of the day, I like to think of 1 thing that I'm grateful for that happened during, you know, throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And I like to write that in my journal, you know, at the end of the day or the next day when I sit down. But journal writing's really been a key, you know, key practice in what I'm doing as well. But if we look at gratitude, gratitude has a lot of benefits and people are like, oh, that's, you know, they're like, oh, that's just foo-foo-y stuff too. And I'm like, no, there really are benefits to it.
It forces really you are. To find other things to be grateful for.
Yeah, exactly.
A form like of meditation too.
Yeah, it is. Like it helps with your relationships. It helps with your psychological and mental and physical health.
Yeah.
You know, it enhances your empathy, reduces your stress, increases your happiness. You know, there's a lot of things to it and it really does broaden your horizon, so to speak. It really helps open your eyes to see like all the things that you take for granted that you really should be grateful for. you know? So really incorporating that into all of my morning routine has been really impactful. And then putting those obviously in my journal. So journal writing, you know, I write down anything that comes through during my meditation, because when I'm meditating, a lot of times I'm in prayer, I'm trying to connect, you know, and I'm just really in my zone. Yeah. And sometimes things come through, thoughts come through, or ideas, or, you know, whatever it is, but they will come through. So I write those in my journal. I write down my thoughts and feelings or emotions that I'm having, you know, for that day. Sometimes I'll sit down and I'll do an actual question. And I'm like, well, what's something that's really been bugging me? And I'll ask it in a state of a question and then write an answer. I do a lot of the shadow work in my journal where I, you know, dig deeper to find like the root of a lot of the things that are going on. Like what's really this trigger that's happening? Yeah. Why am I being triggered? You know, obviously I didn't feel that wound. Let's dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
Let's unpack that some more. But we look at, you know, I go through and I do that as well. And so again, that like reduces your stress and improves your memory retention when you're doing that journal work, and, you know, boosts your mood and your happiness and improves your mindfulness and awareness. And for me, journal writing, well, writing in general really is more of a therapeutic process for me, because obviously, you know, I'm not sitting down with a therapist and I don't always have someone that I can talk to, but I need to let it out.
Right.
You know, I think as women, a lot of us just need to get it off our chest, so to speak. We just need to talk. We need to vent. So my journal becomes that go-to for me. And so me just writing it without any expectation, without worrying about what I'm saying, punctuation or anything, and just letting it out becomes, to, you know, a very therapeutic process for me, and a releasing and a healing. And, you know, I can attest to that, to the very first chapter I wrote in anthology talking about, you know, losing my dad. I cried through all 3,500 plus words of writing that chapter, but it was so healing for me and so transformative, because I needed to get all that out that I had been building up and keeping in. So, you know, I'm a huge advocate for journaling. Get it out, write it out. I don't care if you want to write dear journal, dear diary, just write it out.
Yeah. So glad, so glad you dived into the benefits. You really were thorough in explaining that, because it's true. I mean, the cognitive awareness, the memory, just getting it off your chest and all that, it's meditative within itself. That's like, that's absolutely a non-negotiable. So I heard meditation, I heard silence, I heard gratitude journaling, and journaling in your morning practice. And those are some of my non-negotiables too, because it gives you that peace of mind that you need
throughout
the day. And the goal is not to shut really down the negative thoughts. It's not to really, the goal is not to shut down thoughts from popping up like popcorn, because that would not make, that would make us inhuman. So it's just a matter of letting them go as they come, and then realizing that's how you get better at it, and be like, oh, okay, that's there. And sometimes just I allocate, I think it's 10 minutes at the end of the day. I tend to go to bed at 8:45, 9 o'clock, but I don't fall asleep till about 9:30, 10, but it's because I'm giving myself intentional time to just think and process or just
and
like
to be.
Just to be.
I always tell my husband, I'm like, I need time to just, you know, decompress from the day. And he knows that I need like a good hour just to myself. So he will go to bed, my son's in bed, the dog's in bed. And I just need time to myself. And that time for me, sometimes it's doing meditation, sometimes it's journaling, sometimes honestly, it's just me sitting, staring at my walls and my ceiling, doing nothing.
Okay.
Because I just need to
I'm
just
not crazy. I'm not crazy for doing that, because
and I do it.
How else are you going to think? How else are you going to visualize? How else are you going to process what happened? So that's what goes wrong, is we don't process the emotions of things that go on throughout the day. For me, it's just like, okay, I'm just thinking. That's it.
Yep.
It's free thinking.
Yep. It's like, I don't have to be doing anything. I just sit there and just kind of zone out. And that is a form of, you know, essentially a meditation for me. I mean, I may not be closing my eyes and have music or anything on, but it is my form of meditation. It's just me being quiet and still and just allowing the thoughts to come through and just processing them, and not, you know, in some of those, I'm like, I don't need to think about that today.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I let that thought go, but it's important to give yourself that time to do that, because that is going to help improve your sleeping. It's going to help with your mental health and what have you. So taking that time to be able to give yourself that, you know, that space to prepare yourself for bed, bedtime, and then go through and just decompress from the day is important, you know, especially if you're overly sensitive, if you've got mental health issues, you know, going on and things like that. Like you really do need that You need that time for yourself.
And if it keeps coming up, if a thought keeps coming up, it needs to be dealt with. And it's going to keep coming up until it is dealt with. So that's your number one trigger.
Yes.
If it's happening over and over again, it's because you have to process it. And
write it in your journal.
Put it down or just give yourself time to deal with it, the emotions that come with it. If it's anger, if it's frustration, if it's joy, if it's happiness, whatever it may be. I realized that's what was happening with me. And if I had a conflict with somebody who either an authority figure, it's like, dang, I'm hurt by that. And I'm like, okay, don't deal with it. I don't want to bother with it. But the thought keeps coming up. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take 24 hours to process this.
And you do, you have to take that time to really process it and evaluate what's going on, because it will keep coming up until you deal with it. You know, so it's, there's a reason it keeps popping up.
There is a good quote that
says, to deal with it.
Yeah. There's a good quote that says, I think it's, organs will cry out when there's unspoken emotion, when there's unspoken words. So illness, headaches, chronic sickness, chronic illness, any of that, backache, that's your organs crying out because you didn't cry out. Your tears didn't, you didn't cry out actual tears. So it, it manifests internal and it kind of causes the body to be ill. So it's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not just something that you, we're saying talk it off. We're saying it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your body. It's going to affect your well-being. It's going to affect your relationship. It's going to cause anxiety. It's going to cause depression. And then you, you are in a whole downward spiral from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So definitely deal with what you're dealing with, what you need to deal with, and grow with what you're going through. You know, there's always room for growth, and just give yourself that space to be able to deal with it and to evaluate in a process
and seek out.
You're going to come out on the other side stronger, wiser, with a different perspective on life and with a wonderful transformation story to share.
Absolutely. Just like you and I, but reach out, you know, the help, the services, do the research and find out what works for you. And then reach out. It's okay to reach out, and you'll find that people are going through this as well. You're not alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely don't be afraid to reach out and connect with someone, anybody, whether that be a friend, a family member, you know, a medical professional.
Yep.
Find someone that you can be comfortable with and be open and honest with and have that conversation, because so many of us try and keep everything bottled up. And then you get to the point where I was.
Explode.
Don't be like me. You don't want to explode. Yep. Like, be your own advocate and get the help that you need, and don't feel the shame that, you know, something that I felt a lot of shame around what I was dealing with. And, you know, so release that. Your overall mental health, your overall well-being is important. So you got to take care of yourself.
Well put. Kayla, how can we find you? How can we connect with you?
Sure. Well, it's super easy to find me. So my website is kaylabrisi.com, and you can follow me on all the major social media platforms at Kayla Brisi.
Oh, easy. There it is. Yeah. Okay. Well put. Thank you so much for sharing today and the grieving process and the holistic approach to it. I really like that, where you incorporated exercising, you incorporated journaling, meditation, and eating habit, getting the good fats. Like, you cut out red meat and pork, and now it's more fish. You're getting the omegas that you need, the good fat that you need. And that's brain food. You know, we got to rewire the brain, because what happens with grief is there's an interruption. What happens with depression, anxiety, there's a pattern interruption, neurons, a misalignment. And so we got to be able to feed the brain as well, to rewire the brain, I call it. You rewire the mindset altogether. And that includes all the aforementioned exercising, meditation, journaling, and the eating habits. So I'm really grateful that you came on and shared that with us today. Thank you for your energy and your presence. And you were phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed being here and sharing all of my story and wisdom with everyone. I really hope everyone found value in what I shared today.
That's awesome.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.